Welcome to Love Your Life Now. My name is Sonja Sophie. Today it's Kundalini Corner with my wonderful friend, Kundalini yoga teacher and educator,
Christina Sergun Powers.
Christina Sergun Powers. And today I have some questions for her regarding Kundalini and intuition. So we'll first start with talking about, what is intuition? Why do we need it? Is it even helpful? Is it even real? And then we will look at how can Kundalini yoga help us increase our connection to ourselves and therefore increase our intuition so that we may be able to use it in ways that are helping us to love our life right now, because it will be just that much more beautiful when we go from using our hard ego mind and moving over to using intuition to live our lives. How does that sound?
Awesome.
All right. Let's do it then.
I'm with you.
So first, let me ask you, what do you, have you always had a lot of intuition and used a lot of intuition, or were you or are you someone who maybe at one point was using more of outside information versus intuition?
Both. You know, the whole life has been a movement from one polarity to the other. Mm-hmm. And when you don't really recognize what the power of intuition is, then you move to the other side.
Yes.
So as a child, intuition coming into you all the time. How beautiful, how blissful. Just operating that way, and it's beautiful. And then there's the moment of, what do they say? As we lose that concept of fantasy land, nirvana and bliss, and we're moved into the adult world, and we're like, oh, you can't think that way. You must think linearly. You must think logically. You must have a plan of action. You must take control of your life, and you know what you think and decide and plan, that's how your life's going to go.
Right.
And that's the way in which our society operates, and you believe that because you see adults around you doing that, and that's, you know, for some, that's how you moved into. I moved into that space. And it does work, but it doesn't work with a lot of grit, a lot of sacrifice and pain and turmoil. And you come away with the concept of no pain, no gain. You have mm-hmm. to sacrifice and get to the end.
And that's when we become disenchanted with life.
That's when we become disenchanted, absolutely. That was the word I was searching, and you had it right in your head. You were having an intuitive moment.
Exactly.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, that's what... And so we all know, all the listeners know, that feeling that we have been doing things the way we were told to do, the logical way, the smart way, the educated way, right? The way that makes sense in physics and biology and all those other places. And then we come to this place where we are wondering, is there more to life? Because if there isn't, then I'm not really happy with that. That's not enough. There must be something else.
And there's a phrase that, you know, when I was younger, I mean, that's, you know, we live in that fantasy world because at one point our brains really don't know the difference. And that's the beauty of imagination and fantasy. It's as if you're seeing it, hearing it, and you could be in a cardboard box, but you have created this whole fantasy world, and it's so wonderful. And, you know, a child lives in that fantasy, imaginative, intuitive space. And then as adults, we kind of pull them out of it because we were pulled out of it and we don't know a different way. Mm-hmm. I remember as a child, there's a phrase in the Bible because we studied, you know, the Bible and Christianity, and it's, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to, something, and I can't remember verbatim, but something to the fact that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are like a child.
Yes.
You have to come like a child. And... You know, yes. As I've come to understand, and as the Bible is a beautiful parable, it's beautiful metaphor that I think crosses over to many different religions and beliefs, and that is one of them, that when you get to that state of nirvana, a bliss of pure joy, which is what we do as we're moving our bodies through kundalini, getting to that state of bliss, shunya, you're childlike. And going back to your original, and the child has come into the world as a soul that was with the consciousness. They were already there. And they come into the world, and it's a forgetting. The door is closing, but the child comes in very, very close to where they were before, close to consciousness.
Yes, and that's what we have to then learn how to return to remember. That's why we always say we need to remember who we truly are. Because we have always been that, but at some point we forgot, and then we went on this big search.
Yeah.
And intuition, returning to intuition, learning to trust our intuition, learning to listen and feel the intuition within our bodies, that is one of the ways to go. And then it's one of the signs that we are more connected with source again, that we, and so therefore we can then have a life that is more childlike and more blissful. Things will happen that logically maybe shouldn't have happened when we start using our intuition.
Yeah.
And we can then imagine the world any way we want it to be and just continue to using that intuition. And I guess it's also faith. Faith and intuition somehow must be interlocked. If I'm going by my gut, that's where we say intuition comes from. So we say, well, I'm going to go by my gut. I'm going to go with my intuition. I also need faith.
Well, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know. I'm thinking that there really isn't a difference. That when we talk about what faith is really your intuition.
Yeah. So here I want to read one quote from Yogi Bhajan, and then I want to ask you some questions about particularly, okay, so how can we use Kundalini Yoga to open up our intuitive talents?
Okay.
So the quote that Yogi Bhajan writes here is, we need mental security, so we need to feel safe in our minds, makes sense. Our intuition is our security. So that's interesting. If we seek the satisfaction of our ego, our third eye will not open up. So the third eye is the seat of our intuition, and we will talk about that. And if we seek satisfaction of our ego, then our third eye will not open up. If we give up our ego, the vacuum is filled with our intuition and we are uplifted. It's easy to access our intuition when our chakras are open. Yogi Bhajan. So I want to quickly mention this one again. If we give up our ego, the vacuum is filled with our intuition and we are uplifted. Meaning that when we give up that need to know and logically dissect and come up ourselves with the answers for everything, because that's all happening in the ego.
Mm-hmm.
When we give that up and we step into the faith space,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, I don't have to know everything. So we give up the ego, and then that vacuum where we say, well, but if I don't think about what I need to do, then I won't know what to do. That vacuum is filled with the intuition, and we will do the right thing that will get us to where we want to go. That's basically what he's saying here.
You're absolutely right. And I just wanted to kind of bring a little bit of clarity to it, because, I mean, I think people understand faith, but I think it's the wrong attachment to
mm-hmm.
it.
Possibly.
Because there is this concept where some who, you know, the opening the third eye or opening the chakra, it's really physically the master gland, which is the pituitary, operating optimally the way it should. You know, there's this concept, my eye is open and people are all spaced out and they've had a kundalini awakening or whatever they're calling it, and they feel like, you know, they're ungrounded. That's not what that is. That's something else. And it's really when your pituitary gland, which is in the center of your brow point, it looks like an eye, because the Egyptians were incredible with discovering the body, they sliced it open, and it looks like the shape of an eye, right? It looks like the shape of our other eyes. So that's why they call it that. And when it's operating optimally, then we have the power of our brain. We have the access that everything that is in our brain. So it's not this idea of just sitting here going, ah, I'm okay, I have faith, I'm going to know everything. But it is truly what's happening is your brain is operating on just super, super speed, and everything's open, everything's firing correctly, and all of the pathways are connecting.
And we are connected to the information and whatever it is that we require in the moment to make it through that moment.
It will access you in that particular moment. That is the way our brains and our body work. And then we are connected to the universe and we're able to receive an even greater download. So knowing the unknown.
Yeah.
That's faith. That's, you know, that's why I say that attachment to that word, I have a resistance to attach to that word. Only because I think it doesn't quite, it's not a quite understanding of what's really happening.
Well, there have been in history different groups of people have kind of used it in different ways. And so some people might have a different understanding of, you know, what does it mean. But in right now we're looking at it as in intuition.
Right. And let me just mention, this is from the yoga teacher's training course. It's a manual written with Yogi Bhajan's insights and knowledge. And so when you're looking at this, we call it the sixth chakra, the third eye. It's the seat of wisdom. It's your identity.
Ooh.
When you are there, that's who you really are. And it's your intuition. So the qualities of this place, when everything is operating optimally and you're thinking, or you're not even thinking, you're operating from the seat of your intuition, this is what it feels like. You're very centered, you're clairvoyant, visualizing and fantasizing, right? This is what kids did, and this is what we need to go back to, visualizing and fantasizing, because then our pituitary gland is starting to vibrate. You have a concentration and a determination. So you're not airy-fairy and spaced out. You're very focused and very determined. You have a self-initiation. You know what to do. You're not confused. You have a power of projection of your true self, very confident. And you have an understanding of your true purpose. It's not cloudy. It's not unclear to you. On the contrary side, when our pituitary gland is not operating and we're not in the sixth chakra, we have confusion, we have depression. Depression is not knowing, right?
Yeah, it's being confused about what's happening.
We
yeah.
reject spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not operating from your brow point, from your third eye, from your intuition, you reject spirituality because you're an ego. You are now an ego. And you over-intellectualize. So mm-hmm. all the things that we said, that's exactly what it is. When you are over-analyzing, because analyzation, that's not even a word, analyzing, right? And leading with that notion that this equals this equals this equals this, and this is the only way to go, it breaks down, and there's a point where it doesn't work, and that's how we set into confusion.
Yeah.
Right? And we get lost. When you move up and you operate from the intuitive part of our brain, we have access to all the knowledge. The logic part has access to the very small part of the knowledge.
Exactly. So the intuition, using your intuition does not mean you ignore everything else that you've ever seen or heard. It's actually on top of. It already has, without you going through the motions or through that process of thinking about everything, your intuition has already looked at all those areas and already knows what's going on. And therefore, it's using all the knowledge in the universe,
mm-hmm.
really, without you having to go through it, using your ego mind, going step by step by step. And it is not looking at anything logical. So sometimes it may seem, well, if I use my intuition, I'm not really thinking, I don't really have all the facts, this or that. that's not it. The facts are already included in the intuition. The intuition just doesn't go by the laws of the earth plane. Intuition doesn't have to go, well, I have to read this book and I have to read that and I have to ask these 15 questions and analyze the answers before I can come up with what I should be doing next. It cuts straight through that. And therefore, it is more powerful and more accurate than most of the things that we can come up with by going only the pure logical way, shutting out any type of spirituality or any type of searching for truth in what we're doing.
There's two things that I want to touch on before we have to close out. One is difference between feminine and masculine intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I have specific yoga postures that I can actually explain right now, and you can go ahead and do them.
Let's do it.
So just the feminine and masculine. And I say this because I want to avoid saying a man's intuition and a woman's intuition. If you are stronger in the male energy, or you're stronger in the female energy, whatever body you're in, let's just go from that point. The feminine intuition, and Yogi Bhajan said this, he was very, very specific in the time frames, and is 6 times more intuitive than a masculine. And the reason for that, and it doesn't mean one is better than the other, is that the feminine energy is thinking about 6 different things going on they're surrounding. So it's the idea of having to nurture, having to know all of the where the if there's some place that she needs to look out for with this child or that child or anything that's going on. It comes back to that nurturing thing. There are many different facets going on with one event, and so that feminine aspect is looking at all sides of it. Now, hence, that is how women have that people say, well, she changes her mind. A woman's mind is always changing. The woman's mind is always changing because the framework is always changing. She gets a hit on this, a hit on that, a hit on that. And when she is operating from her intuition and she is projecting and she has lacking no confidence about changing her mind, because there should be no lack of confidence about, we're doing this. No, wait a minute, we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There is that when she is operating highly, she may change her mind in a second, and that doesn't mean she's lost and confused. That means she got another hit on what should be done in that moment and the way it should be done.
Yeah.
But that frantic of, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I don't know, that's the feminine mind operating, but not really having the pituitary gland operating optimally so that she's very clear.
Mm.
Or the feminine is very clear. The male, and this is not to say that one is better than the other, they operate in conjunction, right? It's a polarity.
And in the end, we need both to
we
have
need both
a complete picture.
Is what they call one track. And that's what he's got a one track mind. We don't have to go to the negative aspect of that. It is very, very critical to have that
mm-hmm.
focus and direction. And this, I have an intuition about that that is miles and miles and miles away, and I know how to get there. And I know how to get there quickly and efficiently, immediately.
Without taking detours
and getting sidetracked. Yeah. And I know how to bring that food here because this is what we
right.
need.
And we can all see now that we definitely want both at times. We definitely need both. Again,
right.
as always, the yin and the yang,
And as a human being, we move that way. And
exactly.
So that's why I said the feminine and the masculine doesn't mean that. And as a woman, I don't have the capacity to be, pull on my masculine energy and be one track. And have my feminine capacity to have the 6 facets of the intuition. When it's operating optimally, the part that's necessary will come forward. I don't have to sit there and call on it. It
right.
just comes forward.
Exactly. Exactly.
So some things that we can do to immediately build and strengthen our pituitary gland. That's what it is. When we say intuition, it's getting that pituitary gland to operate optimally.
Okay.
So meditating at the third eye. And so some of those who meditate, that you know what that means. You close your eyes and you roll them up to the brow point. If those of you who have never really meditated and don't really know what that means, you can just press your thumb in the center of your eyebrows. You can just close your eyes and then kind of cross them together, look inward, and roll them up, and then just take the thumb away. And if you keep your eyes focused at that pressure point, that's where it is. The pituitary sits at the base of the nose between the eyebrows. What you can do is you can sit in what we call child's pose. That means sitting on your heels, your knees are bent, sitting on the heels, and bowing forward, leaning your body forward, and bringing your forehead all the way to the floor. You can widen the knees. I first did this when I was 9 months pregnant. Fabulous. So that, you know, whatever weight you're carrying in your belly, on your breasts, you can move your knees apart and you can bring yourself closer to the floor. You might need to cushion underneath you with a pillow or a blanket if your knees are showing some resistance or underneath your knees. And you just bring your arms down, resting on the side of each leg on the floor, the palms are up, and you relax your breath. And all the energy just comes to the brow point. You can do that for 1 to 3 minutes in the morning. It's excellent to set your intuition right where it should be.
It's very calming also.
It's multi-layered.
Yeah.
It's multi-layered. So do it, and we can talk about all the other physical things it does for your body, but for the intuition, that's exactly what you need. And then from there is yoga mudra. That's a little more complicated, but for those of you who've practiced yoga before, it's yoga mudra. It's interlacing your hands in Venus lock, locking the elbows, and while you're in child's pose, bring them all the way up as high as you can, and that further brings the energy right down to the pituitary gland, and this slow breathing. And then the breath. Here's a pranayama, which is excellent for it. It's called the whistle breath, so just pucker your lips like a whistle, so it's slightly open, and you're going to inhale through the mouth and exhale through the mouth. So you may or may not make a whistle sound. I really don't, but it's a small opening in the puckered lips. And the navel is expanding as you inhale, and the navel is pulling back to the spine as you exhale.
And my eyes are focused at the pituitary gland?
The eyes are focused at the pituitary gland, or right between the brows, the base of the nose.
And the best way to figure all of these postures out, if you are not advanced, is of course to come over here and take a class with Christina Sagoon Powers.
Yes. Oh, I have one more too. Those of you who have practiced yoga before, it's archer pose. An archer pose because you pull in the navel and you focus, your eye focus is actually on the thumb.
Okay.
So it's developing the masculine intuition. It's excellent. So those of you who know yoga, archer pose. Those of you who don't know yoga, come on down, and we'll go over a lot of those poses in the classes.
And you have three classes going on right now. One is a little different, but the classes that we would invite you guys to come to try out for the first time
Yoga. Well, there's three classes. I have Monday evening, 7:15 p.m., to 8:45, Friday morning 9 a.m. to 10:30, and then I also teach a class 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Sunrise Yoga in Glendale.
That's right. And you can get all that information at www.yogaforbalance.org.
Yes.
And with that, it's now time to get down on the floor and work on your pituitary gland so you can go through the weekend completely on intuition. It'll be that much more fun. And we will be back, and we have actually decided to start you guys off next week with the next Kundalini Corner, where we will start from the beginning, which is the chakras, and we'll have 8 sessions, each one focusing on one of the chakras. So if right now you are at a place where you're not really sure and you wanted some information on that, this will be a great way to really get a jump start on all of the different things that you need to know about your chakras, what they actually do, where what they're for.
And we'll actually do a little meditation.
Perfect.
I'll give a little meditation for each one.
For each one. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So free meditation with each of those episodes. I love it. Okay. With that, thanks for listening. Make sure you share this with your friends that you know all need to work on their intuition so they can also love their lives. And until then, we want you, of course, to love your life now.